Terry, thank you for. Thank you. Thank you for not embarrassing me too much. Brothers, listen, I am thrilled to be here this morning. It is truly a humble opportunity for me to be here. When Justin reached out to me a couple months ago and said, hey, he sends me these texts, I can hear Justin's voice. Hey, brother. When he texts me, he says, hey, brother, hey, we're doing our lectureship and we want you to be a speaker. And I kind of looked at my phone screen again to make sure that that's what he said. And that's what he said. And I was excited when he said it. Sent my wife a text and said, hey, listen, Justin texted me. You want to do it? You know, I counsel with her. I'm going to do it. I said, what do you think? But that's not how you do that. And you get some money doing it. Didn't say it. You wouldn't think of that. But I'm humble and I'm excited and I just appreciate the opportunity. And thank you guys for it. This morning, it is definitely my pleasure to come before you and share the topic that I have this morning for you. I'm definitely going to be in my time, which I'm sure some of the congregation can attest that at times I will run over, but today I'm going to stay within the bounds of my time. I am sure that I was here on Sunday. Sunday night was a great kickoff, and Terry did a phenomenal job. I tried to make it a couple more days and business and finding the way. I did make it yesterday morning, and I called a session. I was very excited and definitely wanted to get in as early as I could this morning to catch everybody. They did a great job. And so I know that the relationship has been a success. And I know that the topics that have been shared have been beneficial and food to our souls. So, and I just hope some of the words that I bring to you today will just help to shore up some of that as well. You know, there are minefields everywhere. There are minefields everywhere that these mines are just waiting to explode, waiting to blow us off of our foundations, our biblical, godly foundations every single day. But the thing is, in most of those instances, we have a choice in which to decide what minefield we actually go into. If Walmart is a minefield for you, you don't have to go anywhere. My wife and I found out that they would deliver your food to you. So you don't have to go past the minefield. And if you still want to go, they will bring it out to your car. There are many places where you have choices where you go and where you want to avoid, but there are a few places where you just can't avoid. And one of those places is the workplace. You know, we all have to work. And we all have to work somewhere. So that is the one place where our decision-making process, our choices that we have to where we work and the people that we work around, we don't have a lot of control on that. But the one thing we do have control in, when we are in our workplaces, we have the control of how we shine. How we shine in the workplace, and what our attitudes look like in the workplace. And we also have a choice to decide whether we want to be a minister in the workplace. That is a choice. That's a decision, you know. I want to tell you a story. That was this lady, she had a parrot. And we all know parrots can talk. They can mimic words and talk back to you and have brief conversations. And this parakeet became extremely unruly. Bad language, bad attitude, bad grades. And every time someone would come visit her, the parrot would let him have it. And she would be so embarrassed for years. She could do nothing with this parrot, but she loved this parrot. She loved this parrot so she just did not want to part ways and separate this parrot. So she tried every day to work with this parrot, to work on this parrot's attitude. So one day she was just fed up. She just can't take it anymore. It's over. So she grabs the parrot by its neck and she opens the freezer and she tosses him in and she closes the door. And for a couple of minutes, a lot of noise, rumblings are going around and just fierce knocking inside this freezer. And all of a sudden, nothing. Absolutely nothing. So she cautiously walks over to the freezer opens the freezer up, and the bird immediately steps out of the freezer onto her arm. Quiet, distinct, and polite. He says, "Madam, I want you to excuse me for all the years of treasure that I've given you. All the pain, all the evil words, all the embarrassment. Please forgive me. Do you forgive me?" And she was shocked. She said, "Why, yes, I forgive you." He said, but, I've got one simple question. He looks over his shoulder and he says, "Just tell me what that chicken did." When we step into our workplaces, brothers, we should walk into our workplaces with the best attitude that anybody else can see when we step into that place. But you know, at times we step into our workplaces and we have bad attitudes, and sometimes God has to shut that door on you and let you free in just a little while. So when you step out of your workplace, you're shining and you're grateful. You know, sometimes when you go to work, you have hard days and ups. But maybe we don't realize that some of those days are harder because we step into those workplaces with bad attitudes. And it makes our days tougher and rougher than they possibly could have been in the first place. Don't be that parent to us. Let's step into our workplace with the right attitude so when we do have an opportunity to minister, people are open to the words that we have to share. It's all about attitude. It's all about the deep attitudes that we take into our Christian lives, our workplaces, every single day. As we step into our day every morning, I think there's something that we need to understand about ministering in the workplace. When I did this study, I found out many things about ministering in the workplace. And one of the things that I found out is that we are biblically mandated to minister in the workplace. Now, some brothers in here, some sisters who are Bible scholars, they'll say, "Believe it, there's nothing in the Bible that tells me you need to minister in the workplace." But as you study the Word, you'll find what type of attitude you should have in your workplace. One of the mandates is we have to understand that it is an intentional mission strategy that Jesus has given us. Jesus has given us a strategy and a mission to go out into these fields and reap the harvest. And the blessing of it is we don't have to figure out by ourselves. God has already given us the road, pathway, the route in order to do it. Over in Matthew chapter 5, 13 through 16, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt should lose its taste, how could it be made salt? It is no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled on by men. You are the light of the world. A city situated on a hill that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket, but rather on a lampstand and gives light for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven." You see, in the workplace, this is what we should be. If you are in Christ's body, you are the salt of the earth. But if we are passing up those opportunities to minister and be the example that God is calling us to be, my question is, where is the salt? Where is our flavor, brothers and sisters? Where is the flavor that we had when we step out and we hold about Christ? But in the workplace, I found so many times we begin to regret. We regret because we're around people who are like-minded. And because when we're in the workplace and around people who are not like-minded as we are when it comes to Christianity, sometimes we hold back. And there's nothing wrong with holding back. But there's always the opportunity to share as long as we understand how to share with the right man. I'm not going to hide my life under the basket. I'm always willing to shine. And that will open up opportunities for me to minister to people in the workplace. Where is your life this morning? When you step in the workplace, where is your life? Are you salty? Are you flavored with the salt of the earth? We do this because we want to radiate Christ's love. Jesus made it absolutely clear that he wants his followers to radiate his love to those all around him. And radiating love does not mean we only radiate it, when we're around the sun. It doesn't mean we only radiate when we're around our family. It means that we radiate God's love to everyone, all the time. And we need to take that same radiation of love into the workplace. And sometimes, brothers, I'll be honest with you, I believe we need it more and more every single day. If you watch the news, look at all of the pain and the agony that we see. And I truly believe it is based on one thing. Where is the love? Where is the love for mankind? Where are the lights in the darkness? Where are the examples of Christ walking this earth right now? Are we walking the epistle? Yes, we are. But does the epistle that we show every day, is it an epistle of Christ or is it an epistle of the praises of God? Which one is it? Which one we read? So ministering in the workplace, I understand that we have people we have to deal with. Some of those people we have to deal with can be painful people. How many people here have ever had an unsatisfactory, demanding boss that whatever you did, that whatever you did is just not enough? So my question is, if we are going to minister in the workplace, we have to find those opportunities to minister. And one of the best ways we can minister in the workplace is always looking for those opportunities where we can share God's love. There's no more story. There's never been a story written better, more beautiful than the gospel. When we are looking to minister to our fellow co-workers in the workplace, we want to share with them something first of all. When someone's going through tough times, and people are dealing with tough situations at work, whether it's short hours, whether it's longer days, whether it's possible layoffs, whether it's a demotion, all of those things bring stress and issues to people in the workplace. I think one of the first things we should do is we should remind people that we work unto God and not me. We should remind people that we are here to work for God. Yes, we're working for that person because that person supervises us, but as Christians, we should walk every day, we should step every day, we should live every day, reminding ourselves that we work unto God and not unto men. If you look at Ephesians 6, 5, and 9, it says, slaves or servants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would Christ. Not by the way of our service as people pleasers, but as service of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with rendering service with a good will as the Lord and not to man, knowing that whatever good anyone does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Masters, do the same to them, and stop your threatening, knowing that he is who both their master and yours in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. If we are ministering in the workplace, and we have someone who is struggling with something, and we want to share some good word, you go to the Bible and you share it. And you let this person know that we are beholding to our Father, and our Father has us taken care of. No matter what that supervisor or that boss or whomever that person does to you, God has you right here. But we've got to remember that God is the person that we're working in the footsteps of every single day. Church, when we're walking Sunday, I tell you, we wake up every morning and I pray. And one of the things I pray every day is, God, when I'm around people in the workplace, let my light shine. And I wake up and I'm focused and I'm looking at my footsteps and they're just as straight as they can be. And then when I get to the workplace, someone says roll tide, someone says war eagle, next thing you know, you got a battle on your hand. In the workplace, all because of the sports team. Things like the small things can spark the biggest wildfire you ever seen of. But my thing is, what are we going to do when that problem occurs, church? Are we going to be one of the few people that are going to remind people that God has, no matter what? And while we minister those persons and we remind them that we work unto God and not unto men, and we remind them that God has us in every step we take and every move we make should be in the praise and the uplifting of God, leading to more people being baptized, leading to sharing the gospel more and more every single day. Are we willing to do that? You see, some of us have great workplaces, but even in the best circumstances, even surrounded by your brothers and sisters in Christ in the workplace, that does not mean problems and disagreements won't occur. But I truly believe that at least if we're surrounded by brothers and sisters in Christ in the workplace, it should be easier for us to deal with problems. It should be easier for me to come to that place and say, listen, brother, listen, sister, yeah, remember, we work like God, not and we should be open to it. We should be the example that God is calling us to be in the workplace. When a person is going through struggles and having a hard time, they should be able to look around and see those persons that they can go to. They should be able to look around and say, this is the person I need to go to, because this person always has the thought and response to everything that occurs. Isn't that what we should teach us? Every response we should be getting should be a response that is covered in the song. It should be covered in God's grace. It should be covered in God's word, to where a person looks at me and realizes, why is that person different? And if people realize we are different, it's easier for us to minister in the workplace. But you know, first thing I know is that we're different, church. Terry said it all the time. We are different. We are different people. We are a royal creature. We are the ecclesia. We are the called out. So if we are the called out, church, if we are to look different, let's make sure we are different. You know, people tell me all the time, growing up, you're different. I say, yeah, I'm different about you. Sure. And my son is telling the same thing. Okay? But at 46, shows it doesn't bother me anymore. So if someone says, maybe different, I tell people, hey, that's the Christ in me. Well, that's what I was talking about, you be short. Well, yes, but that's okay, but that's the Christ in me, isn't it? Yeah, I'm sure. We've got to understand that we are examples every single day. And the day we choose not to be an example, the day we choose to take a break, the day we choose to tap out and say, this is the day I'm not going to make an example or be an example, guess what? That's the day when that person is going to be looking to you for that mission. And you just want to be. We should pray every day, God, give me an opportunity to praise your name. Give me an opportunity to tell someone else about why I feel so different. And if you're living your life as an example, the way Christ would have you to live, somebody who reflects the light of Christ all the time, works harder than every day, every time somebody looks at you, they're going to say, hey, this is the person we need to be. This is the person we need to be. So many people lean upon these books, these self-help books, and I read them because I'm always trying to learn how to be a better leader and how to decipher things better and make better decisions. But so many times we get the best book to go to. Someone says, well, what's a good leadership book I can read? The Bible. What's a good book I can read in dealing with tough decisions? The Bible. What's a book that I can read in order to help me to decipher and understand better? The Bible. And at some particular point, you understand, I keep saying the Bible. Because if you get in the Word, if you get in God's Word, you will notice everything you need to know that you're good. You just got to get in the business. As being an example, when I was doing my study, somebody says we should be, one of the writers says we should be influential exiles. I said an influential exile. When is being an exile ever a good thing to be? And I kept reading. And as I was reading, it talks about a common message in the New Testament is the need for Christians to recognize that they do not belong in this world. Church, we are influential exiles. We don't belong in this world. We're just in this world. But don't be loved. So we are to be those exiles. We understand that we must fully accept that this fact gives us strength to overcome those temptations in life. We should always remember, church, we are influential exiles. If you look at Hebrews 11, 13 and 16 talks about this. Being an exile, it says, died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and grieved them far off, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking that the homeland from which they had gone out, they would have gone and had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them a city. Church, we should be influential exiles. We have to remember when we're in the workplace and we're dealing with all of the stress, the problems, and the situations, and the issues that people bring in, we have to remind ourselves that we are not part of this world. Those things that are going on, we can't partake in those things. And it's easy to be sucked in when you're working in the workplace. Because we work so close with people, we have these close ties with people, we have close relationships with people. And when negativity begins to spark, it's very easy to be pulled in. Church, that's why we have to stay on this world. So when those things occur, we can understand and remember and tell ourselves, we are not part of this world and we should not be a part of those things. Once again, it goes back to being a human. Believe me, why aren't you a part of these things? Why aren't you talking about the person who we found out was committing adultery? This person that's committing crime, why aren't you talking about this person over here at the World Council? Because you know why? I'm not a part of this world. That's an opportunity to minister within the workplace. And yet, we are told repeatedly that we must also balance the absence, and we must recognize that we have to live among these unbelievers. And when you look at 1 Corinthians 9 and 10, it gives us this example that we understand that we must draw them to Christ. We must draw people to Christ. And what better place than we would have when we spend more than 8 hours a day, sometimes 10 hours a day with our people, to give them an opportunity where we can draw them to Christ. I've never had the opportunity to have a co-worker come visit. And decided to be a part of Christ's beautiful body. But I just wonder all the time, what would that feel like? Inviting a co-worker and that person ultimately becoming, taking on Christ and becoming a part of this wonderful, beautiful body of the church, and just being able to go back into the workplace and see that person every day. And when I see that person, I visit that person and say, hey, that's my brother, that's my sister. What type of bond do you think you have? One of my friends years ago, as we grew up together, he was always of another faith, and it wasn't a strong faith, but he was of another faith, and about 3 years ago, I was talking to him, and he told me, he said, hey, he said, all those times you talked to me about Jesus, and hey, man, you've been a great example for me. I said, yeah, well, that's good, and I didn't know what he was going with it. He said, hey, you know I'm in the church, right? And I was shocked. I said, you're in the what? He said, I'm in the church. The church of Christ? He said, yeah, up here on the phone. I said, are you serious? And let me tell you, this is someone I've known since I was 6 years old. Six. And I never felt more closer in a kindred spirit than when we said that. Church, we're different. And when it is a good feeling to have more people in the workplace that you can minister to, leading them to Christ. We have that opportunity because we have to be that example. And being that example will lead us to the opportunity to minister to those who are around us. In Philippians 2:14-5, it says, do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as light in the world. That example, that reflective light of Jesus Christ. When people are looking at you in the workplace, do they look at you and say, Levy doesn't grumble, he doesn't question. Levy doesn't blame people, he tries to live an innocent life. Levy's walking through this office trying to be a child of God, trying not to have blemishes, trying not to be a part of this crooked and twisted generation. And if Levy's someone who is trying to allow his light to shine in his office, are people saying that about us in our workplace? Are people repeating that and looking at us saying, I know that person has that? In 1 Peter 2:11-12, it says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners, travelers, and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evil doers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. In the workplace, can our co-workers look at me and say, he's abstaining from the passions of the flesh? Are they saying, looking at me saying his conduct is clean? Are they saying that he is not speaking against people, but he is speaking against the evildoers and what they do? And are they looking at me and they're saying, I can see his good deeds? And when they ask you, why do you do all these good things? It is God that is in me that allows me to do this. If we want to minister in the workplace church, we have to be those examples. We have to first live the life. We're doing several Bible lessons this quarter, and all of the lessons are going so well. We have one lesson that says, know the way, show the way, and go the way. If you are a Christian, you must first know the way. And then if you're a committed Christian trying to live a godly example to reflect Christ's life, you should want to show the way. And lastly, you should want to go the way. Are we living our lives as examples? And lastly, one thing that we deal with a lot in our workplaces all the time is a person that tells many untruths. In workplaces, people will mislead you on purpose because everybody in the workplace, they're trying to get ahead. They're trying to earn that raise that they fought for years. They're trying to earn that promotion that they continue to fight and compete with the other person against. And people will lie about things. Just to get ahead, they will compromise their integrity just to get ahead. And we as Christians, we know that lying is a sin. We understand. From the beginning to the end of the Bible, it explains the nature of sin and describes the nature of lying and sin. A couple of examples, Satan lied to Adam and Eve, and he is called the father of the lie in John 8:4. Lying was condemned in the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20:16, and liars are said to have their place in the lake of fire, Revelation 20:8. But despite this clear understanding that we all have when it comes to untruths, sometimes in the workplace, we tend to find gray areas. And I'm a person in life that believes there are no gray areas. It's either black or it's white. There's no gray areas. It's either right or wrong, lopsided or different. That's just the way I live my life. But in the workplace, people find many gray areas. But my thing is, in the workplace, we find gray areas because if we're looking for a gray area, we're looking for a way to get around. You know, we're looking for a way to achieve our goals without going the way or the straight path that we need to go in. And we as Christians should plant the flag of truth everywhere we go. We should be a person that, in the workplace, being that example, we should be a person that if someone comes to us in the workplace and asks us a question, they should already be prepared and ready for nothing but the truth. Now, I didn't say the truth has to be rude at the same time. The truth can be laced with sweetness, but it still is the truth. When we look at the Bible and we look at things in the workplace, a lot of times people will look at things and say, well, you know what? I fudged my numbers. Well, if you fudged your numbers, that's dishonest. My question to you is, if we're looking at things of this nature in the workplace and we have a co-worker that is sharing with us that we're fudging numbers and we're manipulating things just to get ahead, what will we do, church? Will we take that opportunity to minister, or are we more concerned with losing the relationship or the friendship that we now possess with that person? And I have to ask the question, which is more important, church? The relationship or the friendship with that person, or that person's soul? You see, I can find more friendships. I can find and build more relationships, but you only have one soul. And I think that in the workplace, we need to remember that we are the persons that are charged with spreading the word. We are soldiers for Christ, and we should not pick and choose, church, when we choose to put our arm on. We shouldn't choose when we decide to lay the sword down. We shouldn't decide to lay our shields down, our breastplate down, our helmet down. We should always be ready every single day. In Ephesians 4, it places emphasis on the new man. And because of its instructions to the thief, it said we must not be a dishonest person. We must go out every day and put real work, honest work into what we're doing. So we're out there, we're trying to do honest work for the Lord. That also tells us that we must be honest with everyone that surrounds us in the world. Church, what are we doing every single day? If we want to minister in our workplace, we have to remind people that we work under God and not under man. And when we have that opportunity to share that word with someone that it's going to be okay because we work unto God and not unto man. And then are we taking the example of always being the Christian example that we should be in the workplace? If we're being the example that we are to be, if we're living the lives that we are to live, if we're working the work every single day, always in a way where it praises God and uplifts them every day, then it gives us great opportunity to minister in the workplace. But if we're not living as in, if we're not remembering that we work unto God and not unto men, if we're not working to be honest in our workplace, in our everyday life, you'll never have the opportunity to minister in your workplace the way God is calling us to do. Will we decide today to do every single thing that we do the way God would have us to do it? Ministering in the workplace is easier than what we think. But will we make the choice to do what God is calling us to do? Thank you for your time. I appreciate this opportunity. I appreciate this relationship. And I pray that everything that's been shared over the last few days has just been so encouraging to your heart. And I want to tell everybody, you know, I was okay to my mom walking. Now, what is she going to do? You said she was coming, but I thought she was going to be gone by then. I didn't tell her I was participating this morning. She just put the pressure on me. You know, I saw her later. She gave me the look, you know. But, brother, I appreciate you guys this morning. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your attention. And I pray that God bless us and bless us.